Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio from the 76th edition of the Cannes Film Festival. I'm Federica Scarpa, and today I'm in company of Mohamed Cordofani, director of Goodbye Julia in Uncertain Regard competition. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
So, first of all, would you like to introduce your film Goodbye Julia to our listeners?
Yes. Goodbye Julia, I think, is the story of how Sudan split into two countries back in 2011. And the social reasons that led to this separation. In my opinion, these reasons were more important than the political reasons. So the film tells the story of two women, one from each side, who come together in very special circumstances, and they become friends. And the film explores this friendship.
Where does the idea of this film come from?
The idea came in phases. It didn't strike me one day and I sat down and wrote. But the first idea or thought that came in mind was when I read the referendum result, which was almost 99% for separation. I questioned, how can a whole nation want to secede from you? So this confirmed to me that it's not political. This is very social, and I questioned myself, and I found myself also guilty of this very high referendum rate.
Can I ask you why you felt guilty?
I felt guilty because I found that I don't know any Southern Sudanese, so that I understand why they took this decision. And knowing that I don't know South Sudanese confirmed that we have something like apartheid. It's not really apartheid by name, but you're really segregating communities. There were millions of South Sudanese in Khartoum. How come I don't know any of them? The only one I know is a maid that used to work in our house, and I started to review what the relationship was like with that maid. And though on the surface it is nice and kind, but underneath there is ingrained racism and classism that most of the northern Sudanese community do every day without realizing the impact of their actions.
I wanted to ask you, why did you decide to tell this story from a female point of view? Why two female protagonists?
The story is inspired greatly by the theme of transformation, my own personal transformation, which started long before the separation, by the way. I started having thoughts and thinking and questioning the values that were given to me by the older generation. And at some point, I decided not all of these values and traditions are good things. Some of them really reinforce the oppression that our community can have on women, and the oppression that we can do on other ethnicities or classes. And I wanted to take on the story from the oppressed perspective, and they happen to be both women in the story. I felt like it's the best way to tell the story.
There was a scene in your film when Julia says that she'd like to bring her son in Egypt, far from the war, and Mona tell her that there wasn't war, and she said there would be a war tomorrow. I'd like to ask you about these ideas that the war never ends.
Yes, in my opinion, the war will never end unless we as people find a way to reconcile. We always talk about sharing wealth and sharing power and sharing things on the very high level of the community, but not at the grassroots. I think we need a national movement to reconcile as people and to admit there's a problem and to work on fixing it. I think we need to build a new national identity that is proud of things that bring people together, not things that drive them apart, like gender, like sex, like tribe, like race, like religion, like these things.
Also, this is a story about friendship, but in the end, there's this confrontation between these two protagonists. They, it seems their friendship until that moment was just a fake, but then there's a this last gesture when Mona put her head on the knees of Julia was very kind, and it's a way, without saying words, to show a friendship. Is it a correct way?
Yes, this is very correct. I don't know if this spoils the end, but I think the friendship of Mona and Julia really portrays the relationship between the North and the South in a way that it is complex. Even those who are extremely radical in their racist views, who think of the other as being slave or beneath them, or there's always a romance or some sort of intimacy between the people that can transcend the traditions and the things we inherit from older generations, especially when you put people together in the same place. And even those who are extremely progressive and are pro coexistence, and they are also flawed in a way. So that's why my characters in the film are all in the gray area, and their relationship is in the gray area. It's questionable. If you watch the film, you think, is this fake or is it real? Is this person good or bad? You really can't tell, because I think we as humans are like this, and the relationship between the people are always like this. Some bad things happen, some good things happen. At the end of the day, what makes something good or bad, I think, is the longevity and constant effort that you put to make things better. And even for us as humans, I think you cannot become unracist over a day or over a night. It's a constant work that you have to do, and you have to check yourself every day. And are you oppressive towards women? Are you oppressive towards other races? You have to keep yourself constantly at check, and it just gets better. But there is nowhere where you can stop and say, okay, I'm there.
In fact, it seems that you don't choose any side, let's say, because, as you say, that there are they are all in this gray area. There's not a hero. There's not a bad person. And so the most important thing is to talk with the other person and don't put the judgmental thoughts even in front of us and divided us.
Exactly. I think if we all realize that we are flawed in one way or another, we become more empathetic towards the other, and we become less judgmental towards the others. And I don't judge my characters in the film, because that is also something I have to work on, not to judge other people. So I start with my characters. And that was easy, because my characters are inspired from me personally. So I can easily find why I was like this at this point of my life, why I was like that at this point of my life, because I understand the circumstances that created me at that point. And most of the time you understand that maybe you were at wrong, but you are also a victim of many things, your community, your culture, and many other things.
This is your first feature film, and what was the main challenge you had to face shooting the film?
Well, so many challenges. It's on so many levels. The writing, I never know when the film is ready to be shot. At the end, my producer, thankfully, said, I'm going to set a date and we're going to shoot whatever you write on that day. And if he didn't do this, I'd probably still be writing, you know, and rewriting. But on the front of the production itself, we shot during a very very hard time. The country was not stable. There was no war, but there was protests every day. There was tear gas. the security forces close the bridges whenever there is a protest, so you cannot move and you have to change your shooting location, find another scene, get new wardrobe. And this happened over and over and over in the shoot, and it is frustrating when you can't plan properly for something.
This is also the first Sudanese film here in Cannes. I would like to ask you, because we don't know a lot if there is a Sudanese cinema, how it is, and so tell me about that.
There is no Sudanese cinema that we can call an industry, but there is attempts. There are attempts from a few people, very handful of people, who are trying to make films, and it has maybe. We can call it a wave now, because we've seen a number of films in the past few years, and there is more and more people joining this wave, and it's remarkable, because we can see that the films are doing great. You look at Talking About Trees by Sohaib Ismail Barry, was in Berlin and it won the Audience Award. You Will Die at 20 by Amjad Abulaila was in Venice and it won the Lion of the Future Award. Marwa Zain has a beautiful film called Offside Khartoum. Ajuj Kuka was in Venice with his film Akasha, and this all happened during this just the last 5 years. Before it, there was silence for 25 years. So we can just say a wave, maybe cinematic wave, but not a cinema industry.
But it's a start.
It's a very good start. Yes, I agree.
Is there a possibility for you to show this film, a hope for you to show this film in Sudan?
There are no theaters. There's maybe just a couple of them, 3-4 theaters in Sudan where you can actually screen a film. And they're all in the center of Sudan. Sudan is a very big country. So I always had thoughts that this film needs to be screened in Khartoum and outside of Khartoum. I wasn't too demanding. I just wanted to screen the film in a very rudimental way, find old, unused, deserted theaters, just paint the wall white, bring a projector and just play the film. This was before the war. Now it's very difficult to screen the film. But as soon as the shooting stops, I think I will go back to Khartoum to screen.
Thank you very much, Mohamed.
Thank you very much, Fred.
And this is Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.